We're going to talk about the 1995 book Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock.
Well, that sounds great. You know, I love that book. I don't agree with everything that it says, or even most of everything that it says, but I do think it makes a good case, and it's a fun read, and it's definitely influential. You can't argue that. Now, it's been attacked over the years 1,001 times, and Emperor Tigerstar being the one historian YouTuber to really take it on. As a matter of fact, at the time of the recording of this, there's really not many debunkings of it at all. It's just kind of treated as the general Hancock lore by the people that go after him. They'll cite Fingerprints of the Gods once or twice, but generally speaking, they ignore Fingerprints of the Gods as far as making response videos to just it. And that does make sense. You know, it's a 30-year-old book, but Emperor Tigerstar, he's a kind of an expert on maps, so this was something that he wanted to weigh in on, because right out the gate, the maps are there. That's my assumption anyway. And so he made a video responding to it, but if you look for it, you won't find it right now, and that's because I've responded to it in the past, and when I told him and he looked at my response, he was like, yeah, I did leave a lot of holes in this video. I was in school at the time, and I would just kind of crank this one out, and I completely understand that, being a content creator that sometimes gets a little overwhelmed feeling. I do understand the kind of just like, hey, check this out, we can just kind of... But in this case, I think that he really screwed up, and he thought so too. That's why he privated his video. But I screwed up too, because I was really heavy-handed, and to the point where, like, I ended up making an apology video telling him I'm sorry, and like correcting a couple other errors too. But that was one big part of it, was telling Emperor Tigerstar that I was sorry about that I treated it wrong. I was kind of mean-spirited, not kind, I was just mean-spirited and rotten about it. Instead of like addressing the things as they were, I was just kind of like, ha, look at this. And a lot of that came from, to be honest, I've been watching Emperor Tigerstar for a few years now, and it was like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm shooting this many holes in this big YouTuber's stuff. But, at any rate, I was an asshole, and so that can't continue, and I don't want to leave that video up. So I'm going to private that video and do this right. And one other thing that's really big now is that I script my stuff, so I don't tend to miss things. I'll re-record and re-record and re-record and re-record and re-record until I get what I need to down, like I've done with this intro like a dozen times now. You didn't see that part, and you never will. But, at any rate, risking a lot by just going off the rails like that, don't I? At any rate... The fact that I've got it scripted now and the fact that I have toned my shenanigans way down makes this something that I definitely feel needs to be put back out there, because this video does need addressed. Even though Emperor Tigerstar privated it, this video definitely is something that needs held up, and I'll explain to you why as we go along. So, hi, my name is Dan and welcome to Dedunking.
In this case, Graham Hancock references the Piri Reis map. The Piri Reis map was a map of the Atlantic Ocean made around 1513 by, well, Piri Reis, an Ottoman admiral and cartographer. It is often regarded as fairly accurate as far as 16th century maps are concerned.
Calling this fairly accurate is not accurate. It was on the cutting edge of its time. In those days, this was like the best of the best of the maps that you were going to find at the time. The discovery of the New World and the invention of better and better timepieces had allowed for more complete and accurate maps of the world. The Piri Reis map is a portal and chart. It uses these symbols here to align and mark out the map in a grid. This is before the use of projections, which are a mathematical means of transferring a sphere onto a flat plane. However, the Piri Reis map does seem to utilize a Mercator or a similar projection in a time before projections were supposed to have been known. You can confirm this by dropping it into a Google Maps Pro and messing around with it a little bit. I'm not the first person to figure that out.
Now, if you wanted to take this a little tiny step further, as I said, I'm not a historic cartographer, but what I would suggest doing is just finding a freely downloadable GIS program, bringing in the Piri Reis map, putting it on a plate curry, I'm not going to do the French accent, projection, and you'll find it's even more accurate. Just georeference it with the same points we talked about in Google Earth. If you then wanted to check it back to Google Earth, you can just export that as a georeference TIFF.
So there's a little more to this map than meets the eye, but Emperor Tigerstar doesn't really address that. We'll discuss that a little bit more on further down the road, but this is the beginning of the trend here. He's not researching this very well. He cranked this video out. And now I understand that. I mean, I'm trying to get my videos back on the weekend schedule again, so this is kind of something that's going out in the middle of the week so that I can keep this going. So I'm kind of cranking one out here. but I'm going to make sure that my information's accurate and all of that. And I get that we all make mistakes. This is one of his earlier videos. I'm not trying to be mean to him about this. This is a trend that's not just indicative of Tiger Star. A lot of people like to just treat Hancock as a content farm. I need to make a easy, quick debunking video that will get a lot of views. I know, I'll pick on that Graham Hancock guy. Nobody gives a shit if I fact-check this stuff or not. And this video is the best example that I found of that yet, which is why I'm still responding to it, even though I was rotten about it the last time and Tiger Star has removed his video. Now, normally Emperor Tiger Star is thorough and well-researched, but in this case, he just wasn't. He just phoned it in. And like the Society for American Archaeology and their letter to Netflix, this ends up being, like, just wrong. And it paints this picture where people look at academia and they look at Hancock and they're like, well, which one of these? And they see one of these people saying, I'm not a journalist, you know, sometimes I just say stuff, and I'm not an academic, excuse me, sometimes I just say stuff, you know, I'm a journalist, you kind of got to roll with that. And they see the other guy saying, we are the authorities on this, and they find out that both groups are kind of full of shit. Well, all of a sudden, the only argument that the academics had that was in their favor, that were the authority, well, you just eroded that into nothingness with some laziness or some crappy BS lies in the case of the Society for American Archaeology. This puts them in a position where they are forced to look to dumbass old electricians that played Atari 2600 as their first video game system for answers. And that's kind of a problem. But I mean, it's good for me, but kind of a problem for people in general.
Then he says he sent it to a random U.S. Air Force commanding officer named Harold Olmeyer, who said in a letter that the idea that the map displays Queen Maud's Land, which is a part of the Antarctic coast, is possible as the coastline shape matches a 1949 seismic map of the coast once you get past the modern Antarctic ice. Searching this guy's name didn't bring up any results for me other than an obituary, so I don't know if he's some sort of cartography expert or had access to some cartography experts in the army. Regardless, the wording of the letter makes it sound like this soldier has confirmed that the coastline is Antarctica when he doesn't really base it off of anything other than similar looks to the coastline without ice.
Harold Z. Olmeyer was the lead bombardier for the 455th Bomb Group in World War II, the Vulgar Vultures. As lead bombardier, he was often tasked with marking the target, and if he hit the target, the other bombers would also hit the target. If he missed, they were probably going to miss. There was no GPS or the like, and this thing things a lot more difficult in those days. On top of this, smoke screens, fake cities, enemy aircraft fire, blackouts, all kinds of things basically made this much harder than just looking at lines on the ground. This was literally trial under fire when it came to reading a map. Olmeyer kept that job, best as I can tell, through his entire service in the war. He went on to serve as Special Assistant to the Director for Satellite Programs of the Space and Missile Systems Organization, but his career didn't end there. He was a second in command of the 8th Reconnaissance Technical Squadron for a short period, during which time he basically is credited with creating a new organization. Located in the same facility was the then top secret Air Force Special Projects Production Facility, a group tasked with making maps, calibration of satellites, and reconnaissance that would be considered worthy of secrecy. If you're familiar with the Cuban Missile Crisis and you recognize these photographs, these were put together by those guys. They're the ones that developed the film, and they did that because this was top secret stuff. They were the ones that were like, we can release this to the public, we can't release that to the public. Olmeyer was in charge of that. He was the first commanding officer of the unit and is credited in the now declassified history of the unit with its creation from the 8th Reconnaissance Unit of the Strategic Air Command. He was no slouch when it came to maps. He was one of the absolute predominant experts of his day. The notion that Hapgood just like pulled the wool over his eyes or kind of tricked him is kind of crazy, especially when he had a team of trained cartographers under his command. It wasn't just him, but he looked at it as well. He signed off on it. When he said the coast looked like Queen Maud Land, this was about as definitive as it got at the time. He didn't just match pictures all willy-nilly like Tiger Star implies. More importantly, this is another example of Tiger Star doing bad research. I mean, yeah, you find Colonel Ohlmeyer's obituary on a quick Google search, but it tells you the bombing group, the 455th, so you look them up, and it's not hard to find at all. They've got their own page set up. It's old school. It's like from the 90s, it looks like, but they kind of keep updating it. It's a veterans page, right, from a World War II group. But I was able to find that without much trouble, and it has his war history, and then with the knowledge of the 8th Reconnaissance Group was what he was from in the letter to Hapgood, well, I was able to dig a little bit more, and I found that declassified information. And no, I hadn't found that declassified info the last time that I spoke on this whole situation, so it's not the easiest thing to find, and I get that. People make mistakes. Research isn't the easiest thing to do. But this was literally looking up the guy's name, and it tells you the 455th Bomb Group. You type in the 455th Bomb Group, and all of a sudden, it's not just some map maker. He's a goddamn war hero.
Hancock rolls with it and believes that it must have been from a source map that mapped Antarctica before the ice sheet arrived. Hancock thinks Antarctica moved around 4000 BC to its current location. Now, continental drift theory is a thing, but it takes millions of years to happen. How does he explain Antarctica being, as he specifically puts it, 2,000 miles above where it's at today? He thinks it's Earth crust displacement theory. Earth crust displacement theory was a popular fringe theory at the time that supposedly, whenever poles shift, it causes enough disruption and chaos to sometimes move land masses. It was during the mid-century a competing theory to continental drift theory until scientists found the latter much more valid. The problem is, even people who subscribe to this outdated idea today admit the process still would have taken millions of years, which would mean the last time it could have shifted so far would have been before this book claims it would have happened.
Earth crust displacement theory does not state this at all. It's not saying it's going to take thousands or millions of years. It happens basically overnight. It's the loose skin of an orange. The metaphor is the loose skin of an orange over the fruit of the orange, like the futura detached, the peel, right? So as the peel shifts over the fruit, that is the crust shifting over the mantle of the Earth, and now you have this whole big polar shift, and this explains, according to the theory, I don't subscribe to it, but this explains why there was ice sheets way down in Michigan and whatnot, and then they're not anymore, and according to the theory, Antarctica was not on the South Pole, and now it is. One of their lines of reasoning or evidence was frozen mammoths with buttercups in their mouth and whatnot. The theory is dead. They're absolutely true. The theory is scientifically is gone. But the thing is the Tiger Star completely missed the mark here. And now, in isolation, this wouldn't be a big deal. The Earth crust displacement theory is dead science, and it's the kind of thing that not very many people know a lot about. But if you're going to take the time to make a video that weighs in on it, you should at least take the time to make sure you get the theory correct. That's not me being an asshole. That's just the reality of it. And that's a consistent, systematic problem that we have with Hancock. And it's not just Tiger Star. We've got it all across the board, from the aforementioned Society for American Archaeology letter to Milo from Mini Minuteman saying,
"How would you even orient a doorway towards a star?"
There's just no shortage of lazy arguments put out against Hancock, which is great for me. It's job security if I got paid enough to do this for a living, but at any rate, it gives me something to do. But it's bad for the Hancock fans, especially the stands, the guys that are like, "Yay, Hancock!" I mean, if they ever want to see like information that challenges him, they're always going to see it through that lens of, you know, you remember those times that the scientists were too lazy to do proper research, but they debunked Hancock anyway? Yeah, you remember the time that they just put out that BS letter to Netflix? And yeah, you'll never unring that bell. So it's like, it's bad for them, but it's bad for the debunkers and the scientists too. I mean, you get some views on your video, I suppose, but that's it. That's literally it. And you damage the credibility of all the debunking community in general, because sadly in this day and age, people tend to broad brush crap. I hate that. I hate that with a passion, but that's the way people think. And the internet, for whatever reason, has heightened that. So anyway, before I go down that rabbit hole, I should stick to my script.
Still, though, the book tries to add legitimacy to this idea by citing the original book on this theory, Earth's Shifting Crust. More specifically, it cites the introduction, which are words from Albert Einstein about the subject. Albert Einstein talks about how the Earth's centrifugal rotation makes it likely continents would have moved from such motion changes over time. Firstly, that doesn't make ECD any more valid than continental drift. Secondly, Einstein actually died 3 years before this book came out, so there's no way he was directly referring to that theory anyway. This is kind of deceivingly out of context.
You know, this was the part that rubbed me the wrong way the last time I did the video, because the accusation of Hancock or Hapgood being deceiving here is bullshit. Yes, Einstein died 3 years before the book came out, but like any theory, it was worked on for a long period of time. Hapgood and Einstein exchanged letters in 1952 and in 53 over the matter. This is well documented. I'll link a few scientists discussing this. Not fringe scientists either, real scientists, the kind that you'll respect. And it would have only taken Tiger Star a few minutes to determine that this wasn't deceptive, that this was a fact. Again, he did not do much research. He just fired from the hip, basically. Oh yeah, I know the dates here don't add up, but it must be bullshit because all of Hancock's stuff's bullshit, right? But in this case, it wasn't bullshit. And he just, you know, haphazardly happened to attach the accusation of dishonesty to it, which, maybe I'm a little crazy about this, maybe I'm a little goofy, but those of you who follow me on the Twitters, a handful of you who do, are going to be pretty aware that I got this kind of thing about honesty and integrity. I do not like dishonesty in this, in any sphere, but I really don't like it here, and I don't like accusations of dishonesty that don't apply. I don't like underhanded hogwash, and this was not meant to be underhanded hogwash, but that's exactly how I interpret it, so it kind of triggered me, which is why I have to remake this video. And I know it bothers Tiger Star too, which is why he privated his video, but over 100,000 people watched his video, if memory serves, and every one of them that believed what he said walked away with what he said about Hancock being dishonest here true. And that's kind of a problem. I mean, I'm sorry, that to me is a huge problem.
The rest of the map-based so-called evidence uses similar flaws. He brings up how a medieval Chinese map and a bunch of European maps had surprisingly accurate senses of longitude on them, and therefore, instead of accepting that there are simply good mapmakers in medieval Europe and China, he assumes the only possible explanation is that they have a common source that they both copied from. More advanced than what either of them were capable of.
Like I said earlier, this is kind of odd because I know Emperor Tiger Star knows a lot about maps. He shouldn't be aware that longitude isn't something you can get good at and get extremely great results. It requires clocks, mechanical means of keeping the time very accurately. The more accurate the timepiece, the more accurate the longitude. In fact, longitude was referred to as, like, the problem of longitude, and it was frequently employed as a metaphor for something that was, like, unfathomable. This is hard to discern as longitude type of crap back in those days. And it wasn't until 1759 that a timepiece was invented that was accurate enough for them to actually start mapping longitude with a degree of accuracy consistently that we see in these maps. So this is a little bit of an enigma here. This is a little bit out of place. Now, I'm not a proponent of ancient high technology, but I am totally a believer in the ancients utilizing more mundane tech and more mundane things that we know they had at their disposal in ways that were more clever than we give them credit for, or that we would even know today, because as soon as a more easier mean comes up, that'll be forgotten in a couple of generations. And I think the ancients had a lot of that shit going on. I think that's the first place to look instead of ancient high tech. But that's neither here nor there. The problem here is, once again, I just feel like this is the kind of thing, under research would be the wrong thing to say here. This is something here where Emperor Tiger Star just kind of dismissed it. It's like he should know that he does know that longitude is not something you can just get good at, scrub. You don't do that with longitude. You got to get a clock like this one right here that doesn't work. You got to get one like that in order to keep good longitude.
And yes, he does bring up the pyramids. Graham Hancock basically concludes that around 10,500 BC, there was a pole shift, which caused Antarctica to move a bit and be ice-free. Therefore, humans went there, made an advanced civilization, and gave their knowledge to other spots of the globe, which eventually radiated to other more orthodox, aka actually proven to have existed, ancient civilizations. These are what the titles Fingerprints of the Gods are referring to.
Since I made the original video, I've definitely learned a lot. One of the things here that Hancock cites is the Orion-Giza correlation, and him and Robert Bovall kind of pioneered bringing this into the public anyway in the early 90s, and it does posit a 12,000 BC or 12,000 year ago date, 10,500 BC, in their version of it. Now, there is a version of the correlation that's a Fourth Dynasty correlation, and I'll put the link in the description, which I may as well add that paper to my personal links at this point because it seems like I link it in almost every video nowadays. But at any rate, it supports the correlation in the Orion-Giza thing, which Orion was equated with Osiris, so that does make sense. It would be part of their funerary thing. Osiris was like the underworld Ra, the sun god in the underworld state getting reborn. So it ties in, right? There's a lot to unpack there. I did just pictures on the screen of crap that I've made talking about this in the past. Now, the idea that one civilization was more advanced than all the other ones and they spread their knowledge throughout the globe is known as hyperdiffusionism, and it is the main point of Hancock's book. So Emperor Tiger Star did get that much right. He did notice, like, he did catch the main gist of what was going on. It's just a lot of the minor points he didn't get or didn't bother looking into.
A lot of pseudo-history, pseudo-science, and pseudo-archaeology books will simply go, well, this goes against mainstream scholarly consensus. Therefore, not only are our ideas edgy, but more likely to be true because the mainstream are trying to suppress our ideas. It appeals to a lot of people who aren't better educated in the subject, and it's unfortunate.
Now, could he be more dismissive? I won't argue that some people use edgelord tactics to, like, promote their content, and Hancock definitely says a lot of inflammatory stuff about archaeologists. But for all of his talks about archaeologists being baffled in the mainstream narrative, even he isn't leaning on this to prove his position. The only times that he uses the academics against themselves is when they stop research or block it in some way, then he's going to hop all over it. And he will also use academics making poorly researched, erroneous arguments to prove that he is under attack. Because let's be frank here, it often looks that way. When the Society for American Archaeologists is writing letters to Netflix that contain open falsehoods, when academics are doing research that's slipshod and they don't even notice what they're saying, but you know they're going to go ahead and put it out there anyway and say they've got Hancock here. When his Twitter is full of, like, every post that he makes on Twitter, like, a big chunk of the people are academics yelling at him, calling him names and all kinds of crap. The people get stuck relying on an electrician who boycotts barbers to tell them what's up and what's down in this mess. And that's kind of screwed up, man. I mean, again, this is great for me, but it's messed up. We're in a position where, like, nobody's trustworthy here. And it's been that way for, like, since before I got involved in the sphere, and I've been in around here dang near a year now, and it hasn't changed. It's just full of people that are perfectly happy to spread falsehoods, even when they're shown that they're spreading falsehoods. Which is one of the things Tiger Star, when he realized that what he put out there was erroneous, he definitely took it down, and I had to give him big credit for that, because the Society for American Archaeologists sure as hell won't do that. But this definitely plays into Hancock's hands. It's really difficult to say that he's not under attack when this is going on. And he's become something of a whipping boy, an effigy of all the things people hate about pseudoscience, and they attack him mercilessly. And why I do think his work deserves criticisms, and I've made many myself, I make sure to know what his positions are and what the data is before I weigh in on it. Now, I get asked all kinds of questions about all kinds of theories all the time. If you check any of my latest videos, you will find some iteration of me saying this. I haven't looked into that thoroughly yet. I'm skeptical of it, but I can't hang my hat one way or the other until I've done more research. Maybe I'll get a chance to make a video on it one day. That is something I say probably 5 times a week. And that is not something that we're getting from the scientific community when it comes to this sort of stuff. Contrast that with this guy Robert Schneiker when he was talking to Flint Dibble and Dan Falou about what he thinks, why he got involved in the geology of the Sphinx.
What about this specific argument sort of the weathering and the erosion drew you in to speak up and do some research?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm not so sure it was the weathering or the erosion. It was the realization that the archaeologists, the Egyptologists, probably know what they're talking about, and that it isn't older. And if you're going to instantly, as Robert Schock has, instantly jump to saying it was a lost civilization, I sort of felt like I was a doctor coming on an accident scene, and I needed to do what I could. So I think that probably more than anything explains why I started looking into it.
Now, how the hell is Johnny Q Public supposed to trust these people when they come out and they flat out say, I am just as dishonest as anybody else in the sphere. My motives are tainted and corrupt. I'm not here to try to find the truth. I'm here with an agenda, buddy. They have that forfeits. The only thing that these guys have to like put themselves in a position of authority here, you've just taken that away. Ideally, you are impartial referees. Instead, you're coming across as partisan hacks. It's a joke. It's become a joke. I don't mean like politics partisan. It's just a metaphor. Now, if your stick is I'm honest and I'm impartial, and then your public face is dripping with emotionally driven sarcasm and vitriol, how do you expect the public to believe that you are actually, you know, evidence-driven and impartial? They're not going to. And even if you like do some cleaning of the house and some changing of the guard or whatever, they're not going to forget that. And it's going to take, look at Clovis first. How many people still cite that 20, 30-year-old debate as proof that archaeology refuses to change? You don't get to unring bells that destroy your credibility. And I guess it goes without saying that poorly researched debunkings or bold-faced falsehoods are, you know, the kind of things that will destroy their credibility. Thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it if you made it this far. You know, I make a lot of videos like this. Sometimes I swing at people on the scientist side of the fence, and sometimes I swing at people on the pseudoscientist side of the fence. And so I'm not a champion for anybody. So I've got a Patreon, and you guys would, if you're into referees that aren't into one side or the other, maybe that's the place that you should donate, because I would certainly like that. And you should like and subscribe. And I really appreciate the patrons that I have for supporting me in these endeavors. It helps me get fancy new lights. And I'm hoping to get a clip-on mic here in the near future. I got all kinds of irons in the fire and books to buy and research to do. But at any rate, thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate everything. And Emperor Tiger Star, once again, I'm sorry that I was an asshole to you in my first video and that my learning curve involved me being mean to you. That was unfortunate, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that I had to still make a video about what you did there, but I think you'll understand that my overarching theme here, my point, isn't just about you, Emperor Tiger Star. It is about the entire community of debunkers. You just gave me the best example in the most condensed form of the issue. All right, thank you very much. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.